This conference
Sounds
will
good.
now be recorded.
So I earlier today emailed you guys a update of the PDF of sort of the different admin roles and responsibilities and sort of what each role can do within the Gov delivery system. For lack of any other way of going through this, I thought what I would do just for kind of sort of have like a rubric is just to go through the account admin specific items and just, show you where they are, where you would find them. What, why you would want to make that change or that addition, and then, answer any questions about that particular workflow or that particular thing. The very first thing is creating and modifying footers, but there is one more thing that I realize is not on here that I want to make sure you guys are aware of as account administrators, and that is the announcements feature. For those of you who are on our account admin training we did a while ago, you may recall we talked about the idea of announcements, and you can see these announcements that are currently in your account right now. This first one about an upcoming kind of session that we're hosting down here, you can see some information about upcoming downtime in the staging environment. So announcements can be put up by us at Granicus to inform you of, again, upcoming events or upcoming planned system maintenance. That's the kind of stuff you would see here as announcements put up by us at Granicus. But as account administrators within your account, you guys also have the ability to add announcements within your account. And you do that by clicking on the announcements tab on the left-hand side and then creating and formulating an announcement. The whole point of this is to be able to share information inside of the Gov delivery system with all of your Gov delivery administrators. So for example, I imagine you guys are going to have sort of internal team of people who your Clark County colleagues can reach out to if they have a question about Gov delivery or they want some clarification. One thing you could maybe put up as an announcement is who they should contact. So who the various departments should reach out to if they have a question in the course of using Gov delivery. You can do that by clicking Create Announcement, and you could title the announcement like the Gov delivery support, and then put in the information here of the various points of contact that departments have. Similarly, if there's any business practices or business workflows that you want to document inside of the Gov delivery system, you can also do that via an announcement. And the nice thing about an announcement is it will live inside of your account until the announcement is set to expire. So by default, it activates it right now and it sets it to expire 1 year from today, but you can push that out as long as you'd like. So again, it's a way of sharing information inside of Gov delivery. The only people who can see announcements are your Gov delivery administrators. In other words, anyone in the public can't see them, but only people who you give access to log in to Gov delivery can see these announcements. And they live right here on this main dashboard page when people log in. So a great way, great system, if you will, to share information amongst your entire user base. And as you guys add more departments using Gov delivery, it's just a good feature to maybe utilize. So people have some reference points when they're logging into the system. So that was one thing that I neglected to put on that admin role task, but just wanted to highlight that feature because it is something only available for account administrators. Someone who's a group or topic administrator would see the announcement, but they wouldn't be able to put up their own announcements. That's only reserved for the account administrator role. Any questions about that feature or that kind of idea? So hearing none, and again, feel free to interrupt with any questions as we're going through this. There are a lot of things in rapid succession I want to make sure we highlight, so I won't necessarily pause after each one, but if you do have questions, please don't hesitate to chime in. Going again in the list and the order of the items that are only tasks that account administrators can do. Again, these are things that you as account admins can do, but the group and topic administrators cannot do within your account. One of those things is creating and modifying the footers that are at the base of the email messages that get sent out from Gov Delivery. And those are accessed under the Account Settings menu. So when you open up the menu here on the top right-hand side, and then you click Account Settings, you'll see here on the right, there's a whole footers subsection. And so this is where footers within the account are controlled. And again, the process of creating a footer is kept as an account administrative role because there's a number of important things that footers should always have, like unsubscribe links or manage preferences links. And we don't want someone inadvertently removing that or taking that out of their footer from the bottom of their messages. So footers, even though they're applied to templates or bulletins, are actually created here as an account setting. There is a what's called a default footer, and if you click on this one, you can see what it looks like. It's basically a stay connected with and then has the county-wide social media links, as well as, again, those unsubscribe links here. But if we go back to footers and we, for example, look at Commissioner Jones's footer, you can see that it says stay connected with Commissioner Jones and has links to his specific social media properties. So the idea here of having different footers is that you can have, you know, each commissioner in theory could have their own footer, individual departments can have their own footers, because they may have their own social media links. And so they want to be able to advertise or promote their own social media properties as opposed to the countywide ones. So the process of creating a new footer is really easy. There's a big blue button here at the top that says create footer. You click that, you have to name the footer. And it's useful to name the footer something that is obvious. So for example, this one is obviously for, you know, the use of Commissioner Jones. The Parks one is obviously for the use of the Parks Department. So you can see here, you know, stay connected with Clark County Parks, and then it has their social media links. So you do want to name the footer something that, again, is obvious for other users of the system, so they know that that's the particular footer for them to utilize. One helpful hint to note is that when you create footers, they use this HTML editor block. They don't really have a starting point. If you click Create Footer, sort of as a blank slate. And you can affect and edit the HTML source code of footers if you would like. But one little shortcut and trick to creating a new footer is to take a footer you already have and use that as a baseline. So for example, let's say we needed to create a new footer for a different commissioner. The easiest way of doing that would be to go to Commissioner Jones's footer that's already created, go to the source code, copy that to my computer. So I'm just going to copy that. And then going into the footers again, clicking Create Footer, and then pasting in the short code and then making changes. So for example, you know, they connected with, you know, Commissioner, I don't know, Smith. I'm just making that up, right? And now you can also change where these social media links go. So they go to the other commissioners' social media pages or add different icons if they have different social media channels, et cetera. So it's just an easier way to create a footer. There is no clone footer button the way there is like in templates. So the easiest way of doing that is to copy the HTML directly from a previous footer and use that as sort of the starting point, just as a little helpful hint. Once the footer is saved, it would be then available to use in different bulletins and different templates. So when you're maintaining templates inside of GovDelivery, you would assign the footer to a particular template. What that would do is when someone goes to send a bulletin using that template, the footer would already be at the bottom of it. So you can do that too. Once you create the footer, you'd want to make sure it's also assigned to the requisite template. So that is footers. And again, they're found under here when you go to account settings and then towards the bottom where it says footers. And there's no limit. You guys can create as many different footers as you'd like. And this is a really key way. I think that a lot of agencies will use GovDelivery, but brand things differently, right? So even though it's one GovDelivery account, you can have multiple footers because there's different departments, different teams using it, and the footer is what allows you to sort of have some differentiated branding, differentiated social media links, etc. So connected to footers in some regard is social media setup. So when we talk about footers, right, we're talking about the social media links that are included at the bottom of the footer for sort of advertising those social media links. But GovDelivery also has, of course, the ability to post content to social media. So that's a different item in the system, and it's actually found where you see on the left-hand side where it says social media. And so this is where you can connect social media accounts, namely Twitter accounts or Facebook accounts to GovDelivery. The reason you would do this is if you wanted to allow administrators who create bulletins to be able to publish their bulletins to social media. So hypothetically, let's say Commissioner Jones wanted to be able to, after he sends or while they send a bulletin for him, in the same workflow, they can also take his newsletter and push it out to his Twitter or Facebook page or both. you'd be able to authorize those Facebook or Twitter accounts inside of GovDelivery, and then you'd be able to authorize an individual administrator. So in this case, I guess Megan, right, who's the administrator for Commissioner Jones, with the permission to post to social media. So there are two steps to this. You obviously first have to add the requisite account here. If it's Twitter, you click the Add Twitter button and a new tab will pop up where you basically are going to authorize when you're signed into the right Twitter account. Here's my personal Twitter account, I'm not going to do it, but you'd be authorizing GovDelivery to post tweets to your account. Once that is set up, there's a second step. You'd be able to click on the particular Twitter account and then authorize an individual administrator with the permissions to post to that social media account. So again, there's kind of a two-step process here. If you add the Twitter account, but you don't authorize Megan or any other administrator to post to the social media account, it would just be here in the account, but it wouldn't allow anyone to actually post to it. And the reason why that permission is very specific is we know there's a lot of our clients like to control that very carefully. They only give permissions to very specific people as to who can post the social media channels. And so that's why that permission is here. For Facebook, it's very similar. You click on the Facebook tab and you click Add Facebook Pages. You would log in with your Facebook account, but you would need to be a page administrator for that particular account. And then you would connect that Facebook page to GovDelivery. Same thing, once the page is connected, you then also need to authorize an individual administrator, at least one, to be able to post to that social media channel. Again, this is optional. You guys don't have to do this, but it is a one way to connect social media channels that you have in terms of outbound bulletin sending. When you create a newsletter or a bulletin or an update, this would allow those departments to push to those channels. One thing to keep in mind here, again, is this view in terms of adding in, these accounts is only for account administrators. I would presume that most of you wouldn't, for example, have the administrative login credentials for like the Parks Department social media channels. That's fine, but you'd have to set up like a screen share or allow them to send you the password, because the only people who can connect social media channels are account admins. So someone who's like the parks administrator would not be able to connect their social media account. It would have to be done by you, and then you would give them in turn the permissions to be able to post to that social media channel. One way I've seen clients do this in the past is they'll set up a screen share and give control over. So like, let's say the parks team wants to do this, but they don't want to like give you the password to their social media channels. What I've seen other clients do is set up a screen share where they give control, you know, and they allow, you know, that person to log, you know, that you're logged in as account administrator, but you give them control. And when you get to the requisite page, they can type in their password from their system. So there doesn't have to be any kind of password sharing, you know, over the internet, or if you don't want to kind of share, you know, passwords, it's not a really good idea to do that. Any questions on that social media setup and the kind of point of that? And it is fully optional, but something you guys might want to consider at some point in the future. So I wanted to make sure you remembered how to do that feature. All right. So again, going through the list here in not any particular order, the next thing is creating and modifying what we call in GovDelivery questions and macros. So again, this is another thing reserved specifically for account level administrators. You can see those two menus are right here on the left-hand side, the questions bar and the macros bar. Start first with questions. Questions, again, as a refresher, are our lingo and our feature for custom fields. So if you're familiar with other CRM systems or database systems, you're familiar that they often have a lot of fields baked into them or built into them. GovDelivery doesn't come with fields built in. The only field really that's built into GovDelivery, frankly, is the email field. Any other field of information that you either want to upload from subscribers or you want to ask subscribers needs to be a question in our system. And so questions really, again, serve two purposes. As a refresher, one is for personalization. The first name question is a great example of that. First name, of course, allows you to personalize emails that you send out. So instead of them sounding like they're coming from a mass email system, they feel a little bit more personalized to that individual person. The other use case or reason behind our questions feature is for segmentation. So for any question that's configured, like for example, as a select one or more question or a select one question, you would input the answers to those questions and allow someone to self-select some information. And in turn, you'd be able to segment or narrow your audience based on people. But the act of adding in or modifying a question, again, only falls to account administrators. One thing that I think Ben has done that is very smart is for any questions that are specific to a particular group within your GovDelivery account, he added all in caps the kind of department using the question. Now, obviously, a first name question, last name question, zip code, these are sort of account-wide questions. They're ones that everyone can utilize because they aren't really specific to a particular team. But Wetlands, with their topic on jobs or events, for example, is specific to their use case. So he added all in caps that, and that allows you to know which, you know, what that question is for. Now, it's important to note that the name of the question, now let's click on the Wetlands one here. This question name is important because if at any point the team wants to upload a list of email addresses with the subsequent information, the column of the data has to be formatted like this. In other words, the column header has to be all in caps Wetlands, then space, then a dash, then events, exactly like that. So you may get questions in the future about how is my question configured, because when the Wetlands team wants to do an upload, if they need to upload this data, they would need to know exactly what the name of the question is. The nice thing about this is that name is not seen outside of GovDelivery. The question text, though, is. That's what is asked of the subscriber if the question is marked publicly visible. So this is not a publicly visible question, meaning that this is not something that the Wetlands team is asking subscribers. It's probably something they're uploading into the system. You'll notice that when you have a select one or more question, you have to have what are called the answers predefined in the system. So if you click on where it says answers, you can see here, these are the answers that have been configured. So in turn, hypothetically, if the Wetlands team was going to do an upload, right, they would have to have the column header, you know, they'd have a column of email addresses, and then next to that, they'd have a column header that says Wetlands, you know, dash event, and then they would have these various fields potentially, right? If everyone was, you know, coming in, they'd all have the in their cell, it would say BioBlitz or Discovery Day, etc., right? So the whole point of this is where you map that information or map that questions data. So for any questions that are select one or more, there have to be answers. In other words, there have to be things that the system selects from. For any questions that are what are called free response questions, and I'll pick first name as an example, there's no answer because a free response question literally just allows you to type in whatever text you want. Because it's first name, there's, in theory, I guess, an infinity number of names that someone could enter. There's no selected key, if you will, for people to select from. And so that's where there's a difference between questions that are free response or questions that are select from. One other thing to note here about questions before we go into macros and of course questions about questions, you'll notice there's an optional tab here for topics. So if a question is marked public, that means that question can be asked of the subscriber. So if I go back, sorry, to where it says publicly visible, this means that question is not just one for upload. It can also be one where the question gets asked of the subscriber. So if you need to have questions where you want to ask the subscriber that question, you'd mark it public. For any question where you don't want someone seeing it, you mark it no. And that means that subscribers both can't see, but they also can't answer the question. That's for any question that you want to upload the data into the system, but not let the subscriber answer it or see it in their subscriber profile. For any question that's marked publicly visible, by default, the system will ask that question of every subscriber unless you assign it to a specific topic. So you can see here that right now that first name question is not assigned to any topic. That means that every single subscriber who signs up will be asked, what is your first name? Now, if I change that and I only assigned it like to, you know, this one topic, then only people who sign up for that topic will be asked that question. The whole point of this is for any questions that like a particular department asks or team asks, they can still be asked, they can be public questions, but they can be targeted public questions. Because if you think about it, let's say Commissioner Jones wants to ask a question of his specific subscribers. Doesn't make sense if someone is signing up for parks events to be asked a question that is specific to Commissioner Jones's topic. So that's where you have the ability when we talk about assigning questions to topics, you can say only people who sign up for this topic do I want to ask this question of. But again, questions like first name, last name, zip code are marked public and they're not assigned to anyone, meaning, or any topic, I should say, meaning that regardless of what topic people sign up for, they are able to answer and are asked that particular question. So that was a lot of information I just threw at you guys. I'm going to click on the macros button, but as I'm doing that, if there are any questions about this feature and how you would utilize it or set it up, please don't hesitate to chime in. So macros are very closely related to questions because they are the tokens that you can enter into your bulletins and have the value of the token replaced with a customized value for each subscriber. And again, as account admins, you guys can see questions and macros, but someone at the group and topic level cannot see them. That doesn't mean they can't utilize them. It just means they don't have the administrative privileges to create questions or create macros. When you come to the macros page and you click on where it says custom, you can see here that we created a macro, for the first name question. So creating a macro is simple as clicking create macro. I'm going to click on the first name one here. And you can see that we added in this token. The token is first name. If you insert that token into a bulletin, it will automatically replace that word, first name, with the first name that they either gave when they signed up or you uploaded into the system. So again, for every email address in the system, if you think about it, my email address is in the system. Against my email address is a value for the first name, right? So my email address is zach.tyker@granicus.com. And in my subscriber profile, there's a first name field. And next to that, it says the word Zach. That's my first name. So if you utilize this macro in a bulletin, what happens is the system knows to replace the value of that token with the value of the question, in this case, the first name question. If that value is not available, it uses what's called the default value. So you may have seen on the questions tab a few moments ago, out of all the subscribers in the system, there are 252 answers to the first name question. In other words, another way of thinking about that, you have 252 first names in your account. You have many more than 252 email addresses. But what that essentially means is that you have the data for 252 people. So if you were to insert this macro into your bulletin, you need to have some alternate text, and that's where the default value comes into place. So essentially, if the first name value is in the system for my email address, it'll replace it with the question first name. But Susie, if your information is in the system and there is no first name attached to your email address, it would just say subscriber. So you always have to have that, that default value. One thing from a formatting perspective, when you insert tokens into bulletins, they have to look like this. Basically, two open brackets, and then the token, in this case, first name all in caps, and then two closed brackets. That's what the token would look like. When you're working on a bulletin, there's a drop-down menu that allows you to select the tokens, but basically, the token always has to have these brackets around it, and that's what tells the system that it's a token and not like, I want the word first name to appear all in caps. Last name, you'll notice we entered, Ben did a comma. So if there's no value, instead of saying, dear Zach Tyker, I guess I would say dear Zach comma, if I didn't have a last name stored. So again, the whole point of this, of macros, is to be able to do customization in your bulletins. And using that information or that data that, again, you either upload or people enter when they sign up, that's where these values would come from. There are some what we call reserved tokens. These are ones that are baked into the account. You can see, for example, there is a token for email address. So if you insert that into a bulletin, it will replace that email address token with the email address of the person who received that bulletin. Other things like the one-click unsubscribe, this is actually already in your footer. That's what is the link for unsubscribing. When people opt out, they click that link that would unsubscribe them. So there are some footers, again, that are built into the account and then are kind of baked right in. But any custom footers that you create under custom need to be reflective or connected to questions. So if you are going to, you know, do any personalization, there's two steps. You first have to have the question, and then you need the macro to enter that question data into a bulletin itself. Okay, so we are about halfway done with the time, and I think we're on schedule because I still have a number of things to go through, but we are making good time here. But again, if there are any questions, please don't hesitate to chime in if you want more details or more specific questions about anything that I'm going through here. The next item is kind of going back to our account settings menu where we looked at footers before. And these are modifying account, what we call account-wide settings. So the only people who can see, on the VPN here, the only people who can see this menu here where it says account settings are account administrators. Anyone at the group or topic level would not see this menu at all. When you're in this area, you'll notice there's a lot of different options and settings. I'm not going to go into all of these today just because there's way more here than we have time really to cover, but I just want to point out that anything in this section here, anything that's done in this section, can be our settings that can affect the full account, and that's why they're only available to account admins. For example, the account name right now is set to Clark County, Nevada. If someone were to change that, and it wasn't what they should change it to, it would be reflected across all the bulletins when they get sent out, because at the bottom of all the bulletins, it says this email was sent to account name is set to Clark County, Nevada, right? So it's important, right, that be set correctly. So you don't want things like that being changed. Other things that are important here on this page, again, that are for the full account, things like your homepage URL or your contact URL. You may recall on the sign up page or the quick subscribe page, we link to a number of parts of your website, like your homepage and your contact page. If that changes, let's say your contact page changes when you guys update your website in the future, or your privacy policy changes, if any of those links change, you wanna come in here and make sure they're updated, because we, within the Gov Delivery System, link to parts of your website. We wanna make sure we're going to the right pages. So when you guys have your new website launched, if your, for example, countywide contact URL changes, you want to go in there and make sure that that is corrected and going to the right place. A couple more things here just to note that, again, are for account administrators only. Page watch schedules. Page watch is one of our automation tools. I don't think any departments are using it right now, but if anyone in the future does decide to use it, it is configured on a topic-by-topic basis. In other words, a topic administrator who is working on their topics can set up their own page watch topic. Page watch essentially works by watching content on your website, like an RSS feed or a Twitter account or a HTML web page, and then if Gov Delivery watches that content and detects a change in the content, the system can create a bulletin, a draft, basically, and notify the administrator. It can also create and send a draft. There is the ability to have what are called different page watch schedules. The schedules is the interval that you tell Gov Delivery to watch that content. So even though page watch is something that's configured within the topics menu, in other words, an individual topic administrator would create their own page watch topic in terms of like what and how they want to watch it, they would need to pick from one of these schedules that you predefined in the system. The account comes with a default schedule that literally watches, and again, it's in your time zone, every day of the week, every hour at the top of the hour. So this will watch at 11 and 12 and 1, etc. Some page watch types of things you might be looking at might not make sense to watch every hour. Maybe there's something on your website that gets updated once a month, and therefore it should look once a week or something like that to detect that change. So you can create these different schedules, and then once they're created, administrators will be able to assign those schedules to their particular content. So just something to keep in mind, that is something that is reserved specifically here for account admins, but then can be utilized by the individual administrator. Another thing that's account admin only is creating what are called subscriber restrictions. Again, within the account settings, subscriber restrictions allow you to create basically filters that can again be assigned to topics. So you can create a restriction. For example, let's say you only want people whose emails are Clark County email. In other words, only employees of Clark County. So if you know everyone's email ends in clarkcounty.gov, you can allow this subscription to then be assigned to topics. So for example, for the A team's work that they're about to do, or any kind of communication, maybe for IT, for example, when they're going to, you guys are going to send out kind of an internal communication, the only people who should be on that list, right, are people whose emails end in clarkcounty.gov, hypothetically, right, because they're employees of the county. This restriction then can be applied to a specific topic. And so what that does is it says that only people whose emails end in this case, you know, anything that precedes the at sign at clarkcounty.gov can be subscribed to this particular topic. So it's a way of adding sort of a filter and a way of making sure that only specific email types can sign up for a specific topic. So the restriction, again, is created at this level, right, at the account level, account settings level, but then is assigned to individual topics. So it's similar to page walk schedules. You create the restriction here, but then it would need to be assigned to a topic in order for it to actually be utilized. From addresses, of course, are really important in gov delivery, and the ability to create new from addresses and configure them in the system is something that is reserved for our team here at Granicus. So you cannot create new from addresses in the system, but what you can do from the from address screen is see which addresses are configured and their corresponding display names. So you can see what is currently configured in the system, and you can even export them if you need to export a list of all the from addresses. And this is useful because if in the future, when you are onboarding new departments, if they need a new from address, this is a great place to start to see what currently exists in the system and then use that as a way of asking for a new one from support. So, you know, you can sort of use these as kind of baselines, just as a way of seeing, you know, what is currently being used and how is it being used, and then being able to make changes is as simple as contacting support and saying, hey, I need a new from address and corresponding display name. So this is a read-only page, but it does show you what from addresses are set up. Any from address that is limited, it means that only specific topics have access to it. So limited from addresses is important because when we set them up, we try to limit them to the requisite topics. So for example, the only administrator who should be able to use the Clark County District B from address is the Clark County District B topic, right? It doesn't make sense if other administrators can utilize that from address. So when you do make the request for a new from address, if you do want to limit it, in other words, you only want to make it available to people of specific topics, you can put that in the request and say, you know, this this topic, the public works from address, should only be available to the public works topics, you know, theoretically. That's just a little bit about from addresses. And then, of course, the very last item here is the quick subscribe pages. So quick subscribe pages are the out-of-the-box and default subscription pages that come with the gov delivery system. Ben has actually gone in and created quick subscribe pages for the various departments that are currently using the system. And if you click, for example, on wetlands, for example, you can see here that the way a quick subscribe page is oriented is connected to a particular category in gov delivery. So the wetlands page has the wetlands category. And if I were to open this in a new link and sign up on this page, to my email address real quick, I will be only shown the topics for that particular category. In this case, the wetlands category only has one public topic. So if you were to take this link, right, and put it on a particular page, like let's say the wetlands page, if someone were to enter their email address, they would only be shown any topics for that particular category. So the whole point of having different quick subscribe pages is that you can have, for each of these departments, they can have their own quick subscribe page that only features their particular topics, right? So that's the idea of having different pages. You can create a new page. It's very simple, actually, but again, only reserved for account administrators. You create a new page by clicking Create Page, naming the page, and then selecting which particular category you want to appear on that page. So I wanted, for example, only my information technology topics to appear on that page. I would just drag and drop it where I want it to appear, hit Save, and then that will give me a URL or a link that I can utilize that if, again, someone navigates to that page, you send that page to subscribers, they would only be shown the topics within that particular category. you can have multiple categories on a page. You're not limited, but at minimum, you have to have at least one of your categories on these quick subscribe pages in order for them to work. There is a page that's called the default page, and that is this page, and that page has all of the categories. So if you were to look at the default page, it would look like this because it has everything that the account currently has as listed. So as you guys add in more groups and more users of the system with their own categories, right, you're going to see this page get longer and longer because the idea is that the complete subscription page is sort of the full account signup page, everything the account has, as opposed to those specific pages, which only might have had one or two categories on them. Now, there is another method of capturing signups, and that's via our subscriber capture feature, and that's available here on the left-hand side. It's not under the account settings, but it is something that's only available to, again, account administrators. And so if you click on subscriber capture and then you click on signup builder, you can see here the different signup pages that have been configured in the system. And so, for example, if I click on where it says main signup, and then if we preview, edit, we can preview this custom signup that I think Mike Ray has built. But you can see here, this is a different signup workflow, but the process of creating and managing these, what we call signup builder pages, is also reserved only for account administrators. So you guys can create these pages for individual departments, but an individual department could not create their own signup page. It's very simple to do it. The whole point of the signup builder is to sort of be a drag and drop editor where you can easily add in information. And you can see here that as the signup page is getting longer, there's more things for people to sign up for. But the kind of different workflow here allows for different things, different orders, and also asking questions of the subscriber while they're signing up. It also, this feature also allows for things like, for example, you can get an overlay out of the box. In fact, if I go like this, see a preview of what that looks like. And so the whole point of the custom signup builder is to be able to build a form here inside of GovDelivery with a little bit more customization than our traditional quick subscribe options we were looking at a moment ago. Really the only options that quick subscribe pages have is deciding which categories appear on them, as opposed to this feature, which allows you to do different banner images at the top and different text. You can have text, you can ask questions, etc. here in the custom signup builder workflow. But the ability to create and manage these signup builder pages is again reserved only for account administrators. So you would go to the subscriber capture signup builder, and then you'd be able to create a new signup or edit one of the existing signups that are already created in the account. I think we had provided Mike, and I think we did this, sort of like a explainer of the differences between the two different types of signup workflows. It's not really designed to be you use one or the other. They're decidedly supposed to be complementary because there's different workflows based on different types of things that you may try to do things in slightly different ways. And so I try not to think of them as like either or, like you're only going to use one signup method or the other. It's a little bit more like what signup workflow accomplishes the particular thing you're trying to do. And I think at the start, you guys decided that having it, using this on the page with your other signups, it was the easier way to do that than using the kind of out of the box quick subscribe options. But again, a lot of our clients make use of both of these types of signups in just sort of different manners, different ways on their website. All right. So we're going to switch gears and go into the templates field because there are a lot of what we call transactional messages that are only available to you guys as account administrators. And these are all available under templates, and then you can see there's transactional messages and autoresponders. So if I start with the transactional messages, these are the messages that get sent out when a subscriber takes an action with your account. So for example, when someone unsubscribes, they get a message that is called the subscriber deleted message. And if you click on this, you can actually see what that message looks like. And it's pretty basic. It says you've made the following changes to your Clark County's preferences. You're not going to receive them anymore. click here if you want to change that. So the whole point of this message, the unsubscribe, for example, is, you know, to confirm to someone that they've been unsubscribed. These transactional messages are only available to account administrators because they go out to people regardless of what topic they signed up for. This is an important place, though, to distinguish between what's called the welcome new subscriber message and the welcome campaign. So if you click on the welcome new subscriber message, you can see here it has some information, but it's not currently active because the welcome campaign is currently active. So that's available under campaigns and then welcome new subscribers. And so this campaign, this is the first message that people get when they sign up. But again, this is only available to you as account administrators. If someone is a topic admin, they wouldn't be able to edit or change this welcome campaign because this is only available to those who have full account access, and that is basically account level administrators. But if I go back to templates here, other transactional messages are, for example, if someone changes their preferences, like they sign up for different topics or they set a password and they want a password reset email, that's these messages. So you don't have to change them and do any work on them, but we just want you to note that they can be edited and updated, and they are controlled here under this template section and transactional messages. And again, only can be done by account administrators. Auto responses are the automatic emails that go out if someone replies to one of the GovDelivery configured email addresses. You guys do have the ability to create new auto replies or auto responses. So when you request a new from email address in GovDelivery from support, if you need a new from email address, you make that request to support. You'd also want to say in the support, please, you know, turn on the auto reply for that particular from email address. Once that's done, you'd be able to come in here and click Create Auto Response. You'd be able to select the email from the, you know, once it's created by support, it'll get added here to this drop-down menu where you can pick the email address, and then you can actually write the auto reply message that you want to appear here. So this is the message, again, that gets sent out. If someone hits reply to a mass email that you create and send out from GovDelivery, this is the message they would get. You'll notice at the top there's sort of some boilerplate text that's like, go to our contact us page, you may update your subscription. This is grayed out for you guys, but it is something that we can edit on our end. So if you want to say something different in this message, in this particular auto reply, you can tell the support team, hey, I created a new auto reply for, you know, the new email address that you created. Can you please update that header to say something different? That is possible on our end. It is grayed out there because we want to make sure that every auto reply that gets sent out at minimum has the information that you're sending to a unmonitored inbox and important that you need to be able to follow up in that particular way. So that is, of course, the auto reply, and that's an important thing to keep in mind. Each from email address can have its own auto reply. There's also, of course, the subscription pages. So a few moments ago, we were looking at the quick subscribe pages that we set up under account settings. Each one of those pages, like the page that has the topic or the page where we enter our email, has a requisite template. So for example, the login new page, if we click on that, has some text on it, has a header image, has a label for the various items. It has a submit button and a cancel button. These pages you can customize. Again, only account admins can do this, but you can update these pages if you want to change what the wording is, or you want to change the banner image on them. Now, the thing to note about this is they will update every single quick subscribe page. So a few minutes ago, we looked again, if we went up to settings and then quick subscribe pages, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different quick subscribe pages right now. If we were to change anything in the templates for those quick subscribe pages, it would change it on each of them. In other words, you can't change the text on just the Parks quick subscribe page. That is doable, by the way, under subscriber capture and creating a custom signup form for them. But in the quick subscribe realm, it uses the same template for each page. So you select, you pick your template here that you want to update, and then you'd be able to change the text on those pages or the header image or whatever information you wanted to update, you'd be able to do that there. Excuse me. So, a few more things here that we're going to dive into today that are obviously very important. Some of these things are not, we're moving actually away from things that are reserved only for account admins, some things that group administrators along with account admins can do. And so two main things here. The first is the ability to create administrators in the system. In other words, create new admins to have access within your GovDelivery account. This is also where you can see currently who has access. You can see who has access and what role they have in the system. We've developed sort of a convention here that we highly recommend you guys keep, which is after the last name of the person, putting in like an acronym or something here to distinguish what department or team that person belongs to. If you don't do that, you don't have to do that, but it is recommended because this way it'll be easy for you. For example, so you want to find everyone who's from the wetlands, you can actually do a search here and it will search and you'll be able to see all the administrators who are wetlands administrators, hypothetically. So just something to keep in mind. We recommend doing that as sort of a business rule. It's not something that the software has, it's just sort of a rule that we develop and we recommend you utilize. So you know, for a particular administrator, who they belong to. You can see, when you go to login history, by the way, you can see people's login history and if anyone has logged in recently, and if there's any kind of strange login activity, like a lot of failures from a particular email, you'd actually be able to get that information here, from a security perspective from that login view. But the real fun here is how you create and add a new administrator. So it's really easy. You click the Create Administrator button. Select the role. Account admins, again, if you create someone at the account admin level, everything I've shown you thus far, they will be able to do. So you want to be, particular about who you give this access to if you need to give that access to. For anyone who's at the group or topic level, you would enter their email, first, last name, and hit save. And then there'd be a second screen where you would need to assign them to topics. So let's say you need to add in, like I did this week, I added in a new administrator for admin services who's going to be working on a different commissioner's newsletter. If you create them, create their access in the system, once you hit save, you want to go to the topics menu here on the right-hand side, and you want to say that this particular administrator should be able to access, District F or District, B, or whatever district that person covers. In other words, you need to assign them that access. If you don't assign them that access, they will be able to log in, but they won't be able to send anything. So it's kind of an important second step once you add them that you also assign them access to the topic that they need to have access to. One other thing to note here is when you add people in the system, they will immediately get an email, or not immediately, but very quickly, within usually a few minutes, they'll get an email with a link to set their password in the system. They don't click that link within 24 hours, that link expires. It's not the end of the world because they can go to the admin.govdelivery.com page and they can click reset password, and that will cause a new email to be sent to them, or you can come into the administrators tab here and click on someone. Like I can click on, for example, find Ben here, and I can reset Ben's password here if I needed to, and that would cause a new email to go out with a link to reset his password. So that's just something to keep in mind. The passwords do expire after 60 days, so every 60 days, you do have to set up a new password in the system. You'll get prompted via an email that lets you know that you have to reset a new password. I think it starts a week before it expires, but that's for every administrator. So they'll get an email saying, hey, go and do a new password, and it'll ask you to create a new password in the system. This is also a good place to show you within Ben's role here. There's a submenu here for topics. And so Ben was doing something for the wetlands team, I believe, or the parks team. And so he assigned himself access specifically only to those parks topics. So as an administrator, if he logs in with that email address, he'll only be able to see those two parks topics that he gave himself access to. And the same principle applies. If you create an administrator and you need them to only have access to, again, a particular administrator, a particular commissioner's newsletter, you would only want to give them access to that one topic. You can always grant access to more topics, right? If you need to give people different topics or more topics, you can always add or remove. It's not like anything here is set in stone. but you come into the administrator's tab and make those sorts of changes directly there in that option there. All right, so I think the last thing that we'll get into today, and then I'll open the floor to any other questions, maybe the second to last thing, is just a little bit about topics. You guys may recall that topics, again, are the lists in GovDelivery, right? The different distribution lists that the system has. We call them topics. Doesn't mean that it's something that has to be topical, for example. You can see here all of the commissioners are, you know, set up as their own topic, right? So creating a new topic is something that you can do as account admins, and it's something that group administrators can do. A topic admin, interestingly enough, even though they're called topic admin, cannot create new topics. And that is intentional, because the idea here is that, you know, as you want to structure your account, you don't just want anyone creating topics sort of willy-nilly. You want to control that a little bit so your account doesn't get kind of out of control. The one thing I'll want to point out to you guys is, again, going back to this naming convention idea, you can see here we have added a little acronym before the name of each topic. So if I click, for example, on the, let's say, the CCDA. So this is, the DA's office has a topic called media releases. Well, there's two names of a topic in GovDelivery. There's the name and the short name. The short name is what appears on the subscription page. So that's the name that is shown to the public if they choose to sign up for this topic. One thing the system enforces, though, is each topic has to have a unique name. In other words, this topic, if it were called media releases, even though it was only for the DA's office, would mean that no one else in the account could have a topic called media releases. And so what we've done is we've added, in before the name of every single topic, we've added an acronym that distinguishes this particular topic from other topics. So what this allows you to do is obviously know that this particular topic is a media releases topic, but for the DA's office. If I go back here to topics, one thing that's nice here is you can actually say, I want to see all of my topics for CCDA, so I can just search that and I'll be able to see those particular topics. So that is one of the reasons that we do that, especially in accounting implementation, similar to the administrators, right? So you know which administrator belongs to what department. This lets you know what topics belong to what department, right? So it's just a way to keep things organized, and we would just encourage you to continue utilizing that naming convention and structure moving forward, because it will help you down the road as you add in more and more groups into the system. It makes the system a lot easier to utilize if you do things like, again, have a naming convention for your topics and for your administrators, et cetera. So that is important to note there. You'll also notice that there is the ability, of course, to put your topics into categories. Categories, of course, sort the topics in the system, but they also affect how the topics are displayed on the subscription page itself. And so when you create topics in the system, even if they're not going to be listed topics, in other words, they're not going to be topics that you're going to ask people to sign up for, you still want to place them into the categories, because that's just another way that you can utilize to keep your account a little bit more organized, a little bit cleaner. And one thing you want to generally avoid is if you go to the dropdown and you pull no categories, your goal should be always to have all of your topics in at least one category. So basically, you want the no categories folder always to be empty, because that lets you know that all of your topics are appropriately sorted into at least one category in the system. So one more thing we're going to show you, and then we have a few more minutes for questions, is the featured content item here. Featured content is really a useful feature, but for two specific reasons. The first is for the GovDelivery network. So your network is the, you know, cross promotion tool that allows you guys to collect email addresses from people who are going to other GovDelivery clients. For example, the city of Las Vegas, of course, is a GovDelivery client. At the end of signing up for updates from the city of Las Vegas, people can sign up for updates from Clark County and vice versa. The whole point of it is to cross promote content, right? You get to decide which of your topics are featured in the GovDelivery network. And you can have up to 5 of your topics in the network at any one time. So you can add in new topics. Again, this is only for account administrators because it is account-wide. You decide which of your topics get to be featured in the network. So you guys have to sort of figure out based on, you know, county-wide priorities, I guess, who are the topics that should be featured. But the reason I bring this up is that you can always update and change this. So you can allow different departments to have like a couple of months in the sun, so to speak, where their topics are being featured or one of their topics. But as you add more and more departments, you want to be aware that you should diversify what things you're offering here. So the nice thing about the network is that it will look somewhat like this, like with preview. It'll look like this where people can, again, pick from the different topics that are available. But if they wanted to see everything that was that you guys have, they'd be able to click view all topics. So even though you can only feature up to 5 of your topics in the network, and by the way, we can actually remove this little acronym from the display so that doesn't show up. But even though you can only save that and then preview, and we'll see. Looks a little nicer. Even though you can only have 5 of your topics in the network at any one time, people can, again, always click that view all and then be able to see everything that the county offers. So you want to think strategically about this. We recommend coming into your featured content every couple of months and updating it, adding in new topics, reordering the topics, so you have kind of a new offering of things for people to be able to sign up for, you know, as they go through the GovDelivery Network sign-up process. So that, I'm just looking down my list here of the things. Yeah, so that was everything I think we were going to get through today that were specific roles and permissions that are for, you know, account administrators with a couple of things that account and group administrators can do. In the last few minutes here before we wrap up, I'd love to answer any questions about anything that I showed you guys today, or if there's any other thing or workflow or thing you're trying to figure out in the system, love to be able to dedicate some time to it. Of course, we can also end a few minutes early if there are no questions.
I guess we don't have any questions there, Zach.
I did just throw a lot of information at you guys. My recommendation, if at all possible, and I know it's sometimes hard to carve out time, is to log into the account and take the document, the PDF document that we supplied, and go to each one of those things that are, again, for account admins, or really everything that you as an administrator can do, and go through each of them, not like maybe doing them, but just kind of clicking around and being like, this is where I would find how to, for example, create a new topic. This is where I would go to find if I need to create a new footer. I think that's the best way to learn how to use the system. There's like, we can show you this till we're blue in the face, but until you start logging in and clicking on the things and doing it, it is a lot more abstract. So again, if you have time, I know Mike Reyes, for example, has done this with the sign-up page because it has engendered questions. Go in and do some of the workflows, and that usually will prompt some questions and some, you know, thoughts or some other use case things. One thing I do want to mention, by the way, is next Thursday when we do our training on the advanced package, we're going to be spending a lot more time in the campaigns tool and the segments tool. So those are two menus I didn't even touch today, but we will be going into those next week on the advanced package training.
The only thing that I want to point out is that this is a production environment, right, Zach?
Yes, that's a great point. Yeah, this is a production account that is live. Yep. Yeah, great point. It's a live account. Right. You'll notice some of these topics have as many as 24,000 subscribers, right? So be aware that as account administrators, you have access to everything, meaning every topic, every email address, every administrator, every template. So don't like delete a topic that has 4,000 people in it. And just be aware, that's a really good point. Thank you for pointing that out. Yeah, the account is live, it's in production. There, if you go to the bulletins tab, for example, there are active bulletins being created and sent, I mean, as recently as a couple days ago. So just be aware that, you know, it's in use. So be cognizant of that. It's a really good point as you click around. Some of the things like creating new footers and stuff like that, that's not really, you know, something that you need to worry about, but like, you know, your topics and uploads and things like that, it's good thing to be aware of.
Thanks, Zach.
Great.
Are there any more questions?
No.
I'm good.
There's a lot of information, though.
Yeah.
We'll need the recording, definitely.
For sure.
Great. Oh, and one more thing just before we wrap up. Every single thing that I went through today has a corresponding help and support article about it. So, like, let's say you want to learn more about announcements, right? Click on announcements, and then you click support in the top right-hand corner. It'll take you directly to an article about creating and managing announcements, what's the point of an announcement, how you create it. Like, everything that I showed you has corresponding documentation, sort of like the manual how-to. So definitely, again, as you're going through the PDF document of like, how do I do certain things, and then matching it with like going and doing it, don't be shy about clicking that support link, because the whole point of it is to take you to a page about that particular thing, how you do it, how you work on it, how you make changes to it. So that's what you see right there. But great, we will definitely send you the recording here when it wraps up, and if any other questions come up, please do not hesitate to reach out.
Thanks, Zach.
Thanks, guys. Have a great rest of your day.
All right. Bye.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.